But talking about climate change is complicated.
Like your dad works offshore, right? You have money, you can afford to eat, but what is it doing to the environment?
So Coulson encourages her students to debate, for example, about a new warehouse being built in Baton Rouge. They talked about how it will increase truck traffic and local pollution, but it will also bring jobs to an area where they're sorely needed. Coulson hopes that having these conversations inspires students to find solutions and speak up.
I want them to be advocates. I want them to be advocates for themselves and for their
Right now, are we on the air, lady scale now?
Yes, we are.
I'm sorry. Hey, yo, bust the move.
This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
If you would like to be on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, now's your chance. Want to fulfill a long-time or newly emerging desire to be on the radio? Want to become part of the community conversations on Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears? You have an idea for a short recurring segment? Tune into a Zoom meeting May 30th at 6 p.m. online. Contact content at WGXC.org to register and with any questions. But we would love as many voices as possible to be on the radio at WGXC, and this is your chance.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol McCrossin of Washingtonville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Good evening. You are listening to Race Talks with Kimberly Irwin, your host on WGXC 90.7 FM, a wavefarm.org enterprise. I'd like to thank you for joining us live on air on this listener-supported, solar-powered, hands-on radio community media org covering Troy to Poughkeepsie, Middleburg to Great Barrington. Here, every third Tuesday of the month from just around 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. is where we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And oftentimes people ask me, why, Kim, why are you talking about race? And my answer is always to combat racism. But we can't just talk about it. We also must be about it. So today I'm going to share with you all the ways in which you too can be about ending racism in the world and in your life. Here on Race Talks is where we keep it real and
no topic is taboo.
Who could that be? That person that of the voice you hear is the one and only person who is my guest talker today. I will highlight her because she is one of the members of the heritage group that we are celebrating today, Asian American. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to get the letters wrong. Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And that's one of the talk terms we have today, because as you can see, it always messes me up a little bit because we have so many ways of celebrating Asian cultural awareness. With different terms and terminology that I'd love to go through with my guests tonight. And I'm also going to highlight two wonderful interns and assistants that I have through the summer. That is Joey and Margaret Ann. Will you say hello to our audience listening tonight?
Hello.
Hello.
And they're going to be really helping behind the scenes because we're going to try to bring to you a really interesting musical numbers where you can see or hear, in this case, how the Asian culture is not one on a linear line. It's a very vibrant ethnic group. It's not a group that you can keep in one terminology and phrase like Asian. So what does it represent? We're going to share with you the music and highlight that also tonight. So to get started, like I said, I'm going to introduce my guest talker, Pallavi. Welcome, Miss Pallavi Panda. I'm going to share a little bit about her, but I want her to go more in depth. I'll just say that this is not our first conversation because Pallavi and I have met in a program called USAWEC, and I promised her I'd let her tell you what those letters stand for. But let me just share a little bit about Pallavi. To me, she's an esteemed entrepreneur, and she shares her journey today about growing up in India. And I thought it was just really unique in that her ideas for what she wants to do in her business came from her childhood and how beautiful the surroundings were, that they could actually offer a way of sustaining us today in our world that is becoming overpopulated. It's becoming dead, in a sense, I guess. So we need to rejuvenate our land. And I love the fact that we're speaking about it in the sense of sustainability. So that's the theme to tonight, race and sustainability. So how do we sustain ourselves, our cultures, our identity, and our planet? So I'll just mention that she has her company called Detox, D-T-O-C-S. And that is a play on words because detox, of course, is how you cleanse oneself. So how do we cleanse ourselves of ideas even that aren't aligned with the understanding that we are one race, one human group on this planet? So, Pallavi, with that wonderful introduction, can you please share with our listeners just a little bit? I always say this to my guest talkers, share a little bit about who you are, your identity, of course, and what brings you to Race Talks to share about your unique understanding of your ethnic identity.
Thank you, Kimberly. First of all, thank you for having me. I am excited to be on the show. Listening, making sure our listeners are having fun with us, to your new interns who are here on a call. Welcome, welcome. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here and letting me share my cultural experience that I was so determined to bring to the Western world. And that is why is what is my why of starting my own business and doing what I do today. So again, I'm Pallavi Pandey. I am the brand owner and founder at Detox Palm Leaf Tableware Company. At Detox, we make sustainable tableware from fallen palm leaves. Yes, you heard me correct. I am that mompreneur who rescues these fallen palm leaves, and I give them one more use right before they start going to waste, because it's a renewable resource that is on the ground, and we make sure that it is put to good use, and that's how we serve to the food industry, the hospitality industry, to direct to consumers who are looking for a better alternatives to single-use plastics, paper, or expensive bamboo. So we become that sweet spot. I've been doing this for the last 4 years. I'm sorry, not 14. I wish I'm like fast forward 10 years. Last 4 years. But yes, it feels like 14. It's been such a long journey with the whole COVID experience and all these add-on years because of COVID. It just felt like still time, but I'm excited, and I wake up every day with the same motivation, same power as a mom and as a mompreneur, because being a mom has always influenced my approach to business, and the adaptability that parenthood brings is just amazing, and I love what I do.
Well, I forget that you mentioned you're a mompreneur, because We just had, of course, Mother's Day. So I want to say happy belated Mother's Day to you. And you have two daughters, am I correct?
That is correct. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they are also our brand ambassadors. And that's how it came to be, is because, again, what I do today is because of them partly, because when I grew up in India, so I was born and brought up in India. When I grew up in India, we used to eat on banana leaves. That was a very specific part of our culture, which even exists today. Whenever we do go back to visit India, the food is actually served in banana leaves, and it's supposed to be an exotic, luxurious experience for the Westerners. But for us, it's like a natural to-go, everyday kind of experience where we use our fingers, we put it in the food, and we put it in our mouth, and we don't care because nature is everything. Being close to is the best thing in the world, and when you can, then why not? So that's what I wanted to my kids to experience, and I was like, why don't you guys do this with me, advocate this with me? And again, I had to model it, I had to teach it, and today I'm so glad that they are a part of this together with me, and we are collectively doing this every day together. I don't believe in balancing, but that's how we are able to blend our work and our personal lives around this business and do this every day in our own homes, starting from our own home, so that we can preach it to everybody else. Because the problem is not that people don't know there are plastic problems, there are pollution problems. It's just they don't know how to handle it. And that's where I come into this role with people like you, who give us this opportunity to have listeners listen to us if they choose to. And if they are even interested, they find us, they reach out to us, and we start a conversation.
Well, I know from just seeing your website that your products are amazing. I mean, when I go to places and I see, you know, plastics, and I, you know, you can see what they do to our oceans and what they're doing to the animals in the ocean, our mm-hmm. life, our lives just, you know,
and sometimes
products that we continuously use and throw out and just throw away. But you mentioned something about your children as being brand ambassadors that I want to get into a little bit, because I think, obviously, it's not a thought, it's truth. The children are our future. So teach them well and let them lead the way. You know, that's the song that I love to say. But because they are our future, how do you motivate them with, because do they actually, have they grown up the way you've grown up with recognizing the balance of nature and life, or because they're growing up in the West, they're getting a little bit of a different taste of, you know, the throwaway culture or something like that?
That is a great question. And again, thank you for bringing it up, because this is the best place. The name is Race Talks, and this is a different race talking here. Hello, AAPI month. I'm an Asian, yes. She, her pronouns. If you look at me, I was born in India. And again, I feel we're trying to do our best being a parent far away from our countries by trying to celebrate much more than what we did. So of course, we're not doing it to that extent, how we were growing up and how we were celebrating every day. But we're trying our best to do as much as we can, given our capacity with our day-to-day lives and the things that we're doing here. So that's a great question. And again, as a mom and as an entrepreneur, my goal is to create a better world for my children and for the future generations. And it's a challenging journey, but it's also an incredibly rewarding one when you actually see your kids coming to you being like, oh, what is the festival we're going to celebrate, Mama? Or they know about it and they're anticipating on how to celebrate it. They are the ones making plans. And that's when you feel, okay, I've done a good job at my parenting. I've been able to educate them about different cultures, and I let them choose if they want to do it or not.
Well, with your products, like the banana
leaves.
Banana leaf-based product. Are you bringing them from India and bringing them to the U.S.? Or, okay, because I don't know. I don't believe that India is the only place you can get bananas from. I mean, what is your support for your homeland, I guess?
I'll be more than happy to answer that question for you. And again, for our listeners, my products are not made from bananas. They're actually made from palm leaves. They're made from fallen palm leaves. And if you're wondering, where do I get these palm trees? Of course not in California or Florida, but I wish, because that would make my raw material very easy, labor costs very easy right here. But we have to work with a special variety of palm trees. These are called areca palm trees, or also called betel nut palm trees. They are found in particular parts of the world, like you rightly said, not just India. And they're also found in Cambodia, Vietnam, Thailand, Brazil, Bali, etc., etc. But there were two main reasons why I decided to manufacture in India. But now I have expanded and I have gone into manufacturing into Vietnam and Thailand because the raw material is over there. And of course, we've grown 5x times since we started 4 years ago. So we need more products. We need to take care of our supply chain and all of that. But coming back to your question, the main two reasons why I started manufacturing in India, the first one, of course, because the raw material is on the grounds in areca palm farms. The main purpose of the farm, areca palm farms, is to produce areca nuts, also called betel nuts. The betel nuts are actually consumed by people. And once the nuts fall down, the leaves fall on the ground. And that's what we do. We try to collect the leaves from the ground. It's a cumbersome process. Then we clean them with warm water. Then we sun dry them to give them that brownish look, like a woody texture or like bamboo look. And then we heat compress them under huge machines. They're just like ironing machines with a metal plate at the bottom made of aluminum. We put the leaf in the middle and we compress it to give it the shape we desire, the size we desire. And once that's created, we sanitize each plate or each bowl or each product. And then we package it and then we import it here in the United States. So that is the way the whole product is made. And once that is, it arrives here, then we serve it to the food industry where people are looking for, like I said, non-traditional tableware, where they don't want to handle cleanup, where they don't want to handle dishes, where they don't want to rent the dishes, where they want to make sure that people can use and throw without the guilt of creating landfills. Because our products are not only renewable resources, but they also compost in 90 days. Why? Because they are leaves. They are going to compost in their natural rate, which is of 3 months, 90 days. Nothing can beat that. There are no pulps, no fibers, no mixes, no toxins, no chemicals. So the composting rate is way too faster. So given all those, all those features, USPs, that's why we make the best alternatives to paper, plastic, or sugarcane-based products, or cornstarch-based products, because those products, though they are called compostable or biodegradable, they actually don't compost in 50 years or 100 years. It takes them much more time because they have fibers in them, and that's why they have to have a mixing agent to make them strong. Otherwise, they're going to flip. They're going to be flimsy. They're going to fall down. So again, that's how you make the products. And the second reason why I do manufacture in India is because I grew up in India, and that was my way of giving back to the majority female workforce that we hire. So my goal was clear that I want to do something for the women in India, given that I was born there, and how do I contribute to making their livelihoods better? Because it is, even today in some parts of India, it is a male-dominated society. Women are not that empowered. And I was like, I want to bring that change. I want to do something as little as their kids' education costs $60 per year. That's all. So if I can dedicate to donate $60 one child at a time, just like we do one plate at a time, the impact, then why not? And it could be less amount for us, but it can do a whole lot of changes in somebody's life, then why not? So those were my main reasons why I manufacture there. And again, today, like I said, we've rippled into other countries where we've started manufacturing because thanks to a consumer who's making themselves aware of such alternatives, they are desiring these alternatives. They are ready to pay a premium because, of course, we are more expensive than a paper plate or a plastic plate. We are, let's say, wholesale price 30 cents per piece versus a plastic plate would cost you 10 cents a piece. But if you hand wash your compostables, then we become competitively priced to paper and plastics.
I'm going to stop you because you are like the best person to talk about your products. And I know you can talk about your products all day, but I think there's something else I'd like to speak to you about. Guess what that would be?
Let's do it.
You! I mean, I think I'm so glad you shared a lot about what you know, about your products and how you make them. Because like you said, I think it's important that people know where their food comes from. And so where do the products that, you know, they're using their food with or putting in their mouths, because, you know, their forks and you have tableware too. So that's all important. And I don't think if we talk West Coast and East Coast, it seems like people in the West Coast, especially when you think of an American, you think of, like I said, we just very individuals, individualistic, and we don't really think about our planet so much or our in general. I mean, there's certainly a growing number of people and organizations that are changing that. And I'm working in the Albany legislature right now, and they're knocking on doors trying to make sure things have changed, especially because of our numbers, right? You know, we just keep growing. We're like having babies and our population is increasing in general. And in fact, one fact that I've read up on is that India itself has now become the largest population nation in the world. Am I saying that correctly? Would you have that information down about, because I think it was China at about 1.5 million, and now India, I think, has grown larger by only like 100,000 people, just a little bit. So as they cut their numbers, India has grown. And so when you're talking about helping mothers, there's sociologists that say, if you help the women, you help the future of the world. So because we're the ones that raise the future of the world. So what are your thoughts on being able to give back to your community, but also how maybe you see yourself through your company or just by raising your children as being a different kind of parent?
So, yeah, you talked a lot about race and ethnicity and cultures, what I'm hearing. And again, race nonetheless plays a very pivotal role in various areas of life. And again, where we are today, what we desire to do, how we desire to bring a change or a social impact is very important. And that's why I wanted to be a part of these women in India. And it just empowered them. Like you said, the population and women shape societies because they shape their families, period. Because they start from their own families and they bring up these amazing children and they give a structure to their lives, to people in their lives. They are the caregivers. So history says it and science says it. Women can do a lot. Then why not empower them and remove these disparities between men and women and give them equal representation, inclusion, identity, and bring their culture, shared culture, history, experiences.
Well, I'm going to ask you about one of them. I have a friend that I went to, well, I didn't go to grad school with her. She was in grad school, and she was from a small island country near India. Mm-hmm. Her mother wanted to, I guess when she was a baby, she was betrothed to a young man. Their families got together and decided who was going to marry who. And then she came to the United States, went to graduate school, and she met a significant other that she was interested in being with. And then that ding dong, like the bell rang or something, and now she's supposed to get married. And she tried, like you were talking about, you know, male and the female roles. And she tried very desperately to get her uncle to go and talk to her parents so that she didn't have to really adhere to the arranged marriage, which was really interesting because he didn't want to either. Mm-hmm. So because they were both very new wave, you know, they're, you know, I guess they were going away with tradition, although there's something to be said about tradition because we are finding in the United States, at least, that the ways of meeting people where you can have these really good relationships and know who you want to marry before you do, it's kind of depleting, especially in the time where we're all on internet, right? There's very little time you can actually go and meet people. If it's not in a church or in, you know, being near, we don't really live with neighbors so much anymore. We're very, like, again, very individualistic. So go ahead.
That's a beautiful topic you bring, because again, I was like kind of semi-arranged because I know people should actually go to Netflix because there is a whole new awareness serial called Indian Matchmaking. And they actually show what you just said, that how people were in old times arranged who to marry, were told how to marry, who to marry by the choice of the families. Because the concept was a person just doesn't marry a person because of certain reasons, because they were joint families. People were living together in large numbers. So it's not about nuclear families. The concept comes now, after so many years, because women are getting independent. They are making a choice to leave their big house, live separately. So that's when they get to decide and all. So it's a beautiful journey. And again, every culture is beautiful. And there's, of course, a reason why something happens like that. But again, now people choose, individuals choose their own partners based on romantic love. Earlier, there was no love. There was marriage first. And then there was enough time to build that love. And now it has become increasingly uncommon, because now people have more choices. So it's all about a choice. What you had then versus what you have now. So yeah, I had semi-arranged, because I got introduced to my husband, current husband, at the age of 22, a decade ago, and I was still in my undergrad. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married or not, but we were introduced to through our family. So our families got together first. And then when the core values match, that's the beauty, because the foundation, if that is solid and if that aligns, then it doesn't matter if you get a person who's 50% like you or 80%, because then there's a lot to work. And as long as that's why it was important for families to talk. And when that was done, then we were allowed to talk, and we were like, yeah, go ahead and date and find out if you want to get together. And we dated for 1 year, and we decided, yes, I mean, we are 60% match, 40%, we have a rest of our lives to work on. So we'll figure it out.
Well, you know, I was going to ask a different question before you said that, but you made me think about something that happened in my life when I was growing up and with my family. So I want to ask you, is this kind of similar arrangement in your family? How you are told, I mean, well, were you able to date when you were younger? Like, when I was growing up, there was a lot of people in my neighborhood who were interested in dating me, but because of me looking different and being of a different ethnic group, they were interested, but not their parents so much. And I know that we just had a, last month, I had a member of the USAWEC women's group on, and she's from Nigeria. And so she was sharing a little bit about her Nigerian background, you know, with dating. And getting and being able to make, you know, your own love arrangements. How and that there's so many people in her country who actually isn't really part of her ethnic group. You know, like there's actually some people in other countries that are more ethnic, identify more ethnically with her than people in Nigeria, because of how the rule was under British rule, where they just brought people together willy-nilly and, you know, and said this is a nation and this is called Nigeria, that kind of thing. So I wanted to know, is that something similar in when you were growing up, or did you, were you always just open to diversity or anyone or finding your own way?
First I would like to address, we keep saying in this show today that we met through USAWEC program. So just to our listeners, it is, I'll give a quick overview that USAWEC stands for USA Women Entrepreneurship Cooperative. And it is a 5-month business management course for business entrepreneurs, so that we are empowered with knowledge, mentorship, and resources. And that's how me and Kimberly, who's your host today, met. And we've been in touch since then, and I think that's what intrigued and sparked this relationship between us, because we keep talking about race, we keep emphasizing on diversity, on inclusion, on equality, and and of course our businesses. So thank you again. Yes. And so that was the first thing that you keep saying, WEC program. And the second thing is about, like, what you were talking about, your friend who was from Nigeria and talking about the Britishers, and they had the rule. So if people know about the history that India was under the British rule for a lot of years, but how did that have influence marriages was totally different ball game. So again, arranged marriages have been a very long standing tradition in the Indian society. And historically, arranged marriages in India were decided by parents or elders or matchmakers, like what you see in Indian matchmaking serial on Netflix. Or also sometimes there were factors like caste, religion, social economic status, astrology played a big role. Like, what are the signs? The moon, the sun.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So taking all these into account, the families would be introduced, and then they would approve or not approve depending on these things. So that was how it was done traditionally. But today, these arranged marriages are still common, but they have evolved. Like how Like today, the individuals have a say, they have a choice who are actually getting married. They get to choose their partners and they get to date, like what you were asking. Did I get to date? Yes, because I grew up in a Catholic convent school in India. My parents sent me to the best British Catholic convent school at that time. And that's why they were very outgoing. They were not conservative at all. But is that normal? No. Parents don't exist like that. Women or girls are still told what to do even today. So there are parts or pockets in India where people don't know that there exist countries or continents. So it's still there, sadly. Yes. So
wow.
Okay. Yeah, and it all depends on the young people, the how much you move outside of your town to countries beyond borders, beyond seas, and you make yourself aware. And that's why I love travel. That's how I show different cultures, and it opens up our minds, my kids' minds. So I put a big emphasis on travel so that we can learn about different cultures and stories and histories, and at the end we can make a choice.
Excellent. I love that, the idea of choice and travel. Have you ever been to France?
Yes, I have been there twice. Once when we did not have kids and once with the kids, because my daughter wanted to spend her birthday on Paris and she's 8.
Okay, good. That was my second question. Then following Paris. So I have switch up our conversations mm-hmm. and bring in some terminology. Mm-hmm. And some other segments like FIRST that I'm going to get to. But right now, there's a quote that I would like to share with you. And I would like to know if you ever heard of the gentleman that I'm going to mention the quote. Okay. But I'm going to do that on the other side of this musical engagement. I'm not sure which one. We have two that are really different from each other, but it's just to show again that the Asian cultural grouping that we group in the United States is very diverse. It's mm-hmm. very, you know, it's Southeast Asia. It's people coming from places like India, people coming from countries like China and Japan that have a unique flavor all their own. And then, of course, when they come to the United States and bring that and then mix together. So it's a whole different ballgame. We all know that. Every ethnic identity, this is what I say in a book that I've written, that every person is their own ethnic identity because no two people are alike in that regard. But yes. So I don't know, can we have one of, I don't know if it's going to be Joey or Margaret Ann, who wants to share their first musical interlude? Just give us the title and I'll give the quote and find out who this person, okay, it's going to be a person who made Paris very interesting in the way it looks. So that's just the little riddle I'm going to give in the beginning. I think I see Joey with her hand up. So Joey, can we try the musical interlude right now? I can't hear you. Can you?
I'm sorry. Yes, you can.
Okay. And what's the title?
The title is... Give me 1 second. It is, I hope I'm pronouncing this correct, but it is Pihi Tahiti Ora. So that's the whole name of it. And I'm about to share it. And that is that.
Well, that is awesome. And so I'm going to read now.
Oh boy, that felt like I was in Tahiti. which is on my bucket list, by the way.
You know what? I keep doing this, and I'm not. It's not coming up. I'm going to try one more time. I know it's here.
Okay. We can imagine the beats.
I've got it, right?
Yes, okay. You got it.
So this is coming from a Harvard-educated Chinese-American. He says, success is a collection of problems solved. Now, he was an architect. Where did he do work on? I'll give you a hint. It's in a triangle. No? Still no? Okay. Starts with an L. Do you when you go to Paris, you visit a museum?
Louvre.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when I think of success as a collection of problems solved with our theme of race and sustainability, what is the problem that we're solving really with your detox products, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is simple. Something that just helps you use and throw without having the guilt. And because people need better products for the people and the planet. It's again, like what you started and you said, we care so much what we put inside a body, right? Why not we start it from where we put it on? So just not what's on the plate, but what's in my plate. That was important to me as a mom. And that's what I rippled, because I was like, I'm going to create something safe for myself, for my body, for my kids, for our future generations, for the people, for the turtles, like you said, the marine. We don't have to think about the animals. Think about yourself first as a human.
Oh, well, I love that. And I want to go into the next segment, which is talking about the firsts. Actually, you know what? I think this would be a really great time for our second song, because you were really correct. That's, I think, we can look at Tahiti from being the musical interlude, Tahiti being from the Pacific Island. There, when we think of Asian American Pacific Islander, that's definitely from the Pacific Islander realm. What realm would this music number be from? I think we had Margaret Ann who chose this, correct?
Yes. So the song that I found is called the Asian Dream Song. So I think Joey's going to play it now.
That was beautiful.
Well, you know, when we talk about stereotypes, and certainly each ethnic group gets their fair share of stereotypes. One is how musical Asian Americans are. And of course, every group is musical, but that was a lovely group. And I am going to ask, I know I asked too much of my assistants here, but they're doing so well. I'm sure they can handle this. I'm going to have them read for you, Pallavi.
I'll be honored.
While I look to get the information for the first, some more amazing quotes. And then for you, Pallavi, maybe to share with them how that also can be a those quotes can be motivating factors in sustainability of our world. Is that possible?
Yes, let's do this.
Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm putting that in the space here. So why don't we have each one of you take turns reading one of the quotes and talking about, you know, mentioning who it was from, and then talking about the quote and how it can, you know, how it supports our theme. Put them to work. Okay, begin. Who's starting, Joey?
Yes. I don't have any quotes.
It's number two on the chat.
I don't see.
There you go. Push send. Gotta come up in your head. There it is.
Okay, so I'm reading the first one. Success is a collection of problems solved by IMP, Harvard Education, Chinese American. How do you feel about that when it comes to you and your life and just your business? Because success is a collection of problems solved. So, yeah.
Pallavi?
Yes. So what am I doing here? Remind me again.
Oh, just how would that be part of, you know, looking at the theme of sustainability, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm commenting on what Joey said about the success of the collection of problem solved. Is that right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
If
so...
it can be done, I don't know. Maybe it can be done. Try it out.
Well, every problem we encounter and solve not only brings us closer to our goals, but it also provides invaluable experiences, strengthens our problem-solving skills, and it builds resilience. And that's what you need in business, in your personal life. So, like Joey said, yes, the success is a collection of all these problems, and you're solving and getting closer and closer to success. So the definition of success could mean so different to different people, right? So I see it as not failure, but getting return and experience, though even if I'm failing, I don't care. But what I'm getting out of it is becoming more stronger, more resilient, being more smarter to handle it next time. Did I answer that question?
Ding, ding, yeah. Ding, ding. That means yes.
Awesome.
I like that. I don't know. I could probably add to it, but I'm going to let the next, I don't know, let me see what time we have. And I think we're doing good on time. So I'm going to have the next quote be read by Margaret Ann after I talk about our first. I think I can get my first in before I move to the next space. Let me see if I can do that. All right. So, you know, people tell me because I'm a woman, I always talk about women first. And I'm just going to say, uh-huh. I'm not going to apologize for, you know, highlighting women and what we do. Because as we said in the beginning, it's really important. And May is Mother's Day month. And so in June, where it's Father's Day month, I'll talk more about men. But I want to mention Patsy Takimoto Mink. That's Patsy Takimoto Mink, who was the first woman of color in Congress. Mm. So I make that as a big, bold statement because as far as numbers are concerned, right now, Latino women would be the largest group, or Latinos are the largest group. They've just beaten out African Americans for the first time, kind of like India surpassing China as far as the majority of the largest population. So I want to, in honor of Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, recognize that Representative Patsy Takamoto Mink was the first representative from Hawaii in 1965 and 1977, and again from 1990 until she passed away, unfortunately, in 2002. But in her first election in 1964, she became the first Asian American woman to serve in the U.S. Congress. And I say that because that's a big deal, serving in Congress. I mean, African-American men or African-American men, period, African-Americans, period, weren't able to be in Congress except for right after the Civil War. And then they were voted in because there were the numbers in the South. But then, of course, times had changed and Jim Crow laws came out. And so Black people were forced to not be able to be representative of themselves anymore. And so to have an Asian woman be, or in this case, not just an Asian woman, but the first woman of color, period, to be able to serve in U.S. Congress for people that she represents is just, I think, outwardly amazing. First to be a woman, and then just to be the first woman of color when, again, it's just been so difficult for people of color to, and the numbers for Asian American women weren't there. So I just wanted to give her kudos in that achievement. So,
yay.
And
role models.
Yes, I was going to say, and that's something that, you know, young girls can look up to because, again, we want to have first, but we don't want to just have one, right? We want the first to then welcome a long train of other people forward too. And I hope in this case too, Pallavi, that your model for sustainability products is to sustain our planet and, you know, treat it better is something that people who are listening can find a way to do. And I want to make sure we talk about right ways of doing it. So again, I'm getting ready to log on to another form of Zoom. So if it happens that I get cut off before I do that, we're going to go ahead and talk about the next quote because the next quote is very interesting too. But I just wanted to make that known that we are not finished with our conversation, but I do want to now move to the next segment, which is the fact that we don't want to just talk about doing things right. We want to do things right. So I would like for you to share with the listeners some things other than purchase your products, because they should definitely do that. And when I'm not going to say purchase your products, let's just say purchase products that help sustain our planet. But detox brands is like if you say from what, and I'm glad that you went through it, the everything that you do to bring this product to market seems like perfection. It seems like you really do care about not just the back, you know, what comes out, but how you get to the end result. And so I think that matters. And so how do we get to having one race, the human race? How does that matter? What should we do? And I think one of the things we should definitely do is celebrate each other's culture. So I don't know, are there anything that is done where you live that helps celebrate this month, AAPI, Heritage Month?
Yeah. So I live in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and there's a very diverse state where there are so many variety of cultures and people. And of course, we celebrate each other. We support one another. We lift one another, because without each other, we nobody. And like you said, apart from the end goal of a business, period, is of course make sales, bring an income. But more than that, if you combine an impact with it or a purpose with it, which is whatever you choose to do to our listeners today or to Margaret and Joey here, just make better choices in life for yourself so that you can ripple it to people in your life and you can stay positive and you can keep doing things in a better way. So the purpose should be very clear and you just make better choices in life, whether it is choosing to work with a sustainable plate like mine or whether it's choosing to do something different. Again, people are in different phases of their lives. It's up to what you want to make out of it. So choose better wisely, and that's your journey.
Excellent. I think I heard me twice. Are you hearing me twice there?
Yes, it is kind of echoing. But we love it. Two of you now. Yay!
And you too. We're going to fix that. But let's get to the next quote.
Oh, yes.
Recording stopped.
Okay, so the next quote is by Andrew Yang, who is an American businessman, attorney, lobbyist, and politician. And his quote is, mistakes are acceptable if they're the result of moving forward. I guess, like, how does that correlate to everything that you do with your business and your brand?
Oh, thank you for bringing that, because at one point of day and time, I always feel stupid because I feel like I've done some mistake. So absolutely, mistakes are an integral part of our growth and progress. And when we are trying new things, when we are stepping out of outside our comfort zone, when we are really moving towards something which we don't know if it's going to work or not, like our lives or like our relationships or like our parenting or like our businesses, instead of viewing them as your mistakes, you can call them your experiences. That is what I call them. Because again, Detox, which is Palm Leaf Tableware brand for me today, is my third business. Because before that, I had two experiences, one of a kind. And what did I learn out of it? I became stronger. I had a different way to see success because I got stronger out of it and I knew exactly what not to do this time in this experience. So again, making mistakes isn't just acceptable. It is a necessary part of our journey to our success. And always remember, it's better to make mistakes while moving forward than to make a none and just stand still. So I love that because every day, even if I am making mistakes, I'm learning something from it. And that's, I hope people also have that mindset of taking it in the forward direction.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, loud and clear.
Okay, wonderful, because I felt that I wasn't being able to be heard, but good. I like what you said about that. Who actually said that quote?
I read the quote, but it was Andrew Yang.
Ah, Andrew Yang. So he's a pretty, I mean, I have to, I'm going to out Margaret Ann and Joy. Joey. They were like, Andrew Yang who? No. But that makes sense because he ran for president quite a while ago. But his whole vision is kind of like yours in the sense that he wants to help people in the home. And like you were saying, how you try to help women with helping them, you know, it's only $60 for them to go to school. So that if you can help through your company support them, then that's a great thing that you're doing in support. And Andrew Yang had that same vision for families here in America, that he wanted to provide each family with certain, like $100, I mean, $500 or whatever it was, $1,000, I don't know what it was. Because they're saying that if you stay home and take care of your children, that's a job. And, you know, it's something that we need to thank you for, because, you know, each one teach one. If you don't teach your own, then someone else has to do it. So, and that doesn't help sustain a community when, you know, you take care of our young together. So I love the idea of, you know, that what he mentioned and how you stated that.
Thank
all
you.
Right. So I know that my listeners have noticed, because we do it all the time, there's always some kind of audio glitch. So my audio glitch today was that my computer just stopped. I had to like make my way to my phone. And in doing so, I love the fact that my guest and my assistants were able to, you know, keep the flow going. We don't have any more musical interludes, but if we did, Pallavi, what is your favorite song?
Oh, have boy, you? What is, I'm very musical. I love all sorts of music in every language. I mean, it's the beats, it's the cadence, what the music sets, it's the mood. So I'm a very musical person, and I'll share a secret here. So my mom in India is actually a national level singer. She is a really? Singer for for All India Radio, which is a national level radio show. And she goes around India and other parts of the countries representing India, giving concerts. And her specialty is, again, India has, you know how many states? Like a lot of states. And every state has its own dialect. A dialect is different from language. Dialect means something that's spoken different in the suburb area, different in urban areas, different in rural areas. So I come from a state which has its own dialect. So apart from the national language, there's a language of the state, and then there is a dialect. So my mom actually deals with that dialect because she was so passionate about preserving that dialect that she was like, instead of being ashamed, we should be able to carry that culture and teach it to our kids and represent it and keep it alive. So that's what she does. She sings, she composes, and she writes her own songs in our own dialect, and she goes on recording them throughout India, and she gives concerts. So I'm a very musical person. I'm not biased at all. So I love all sorts of music.
Well, I don't understand this, Pallavi. Then why didn't you share that with us? Because I did ask if you have any musical or audios that you would like to share.
Oh, well, we got to
next time.
For next time, exactly.
Next time. Well, we are coming close to our 5-minute time period where, I don't know, I can talk about the station. So let me... So I'll talk about the station very quickly, because without the station, we wouldn't be able to have fabulous guests like Pallavi Panda on, or me as a host with my eclectic ideas on race and ethnicity. So if you would like to hear more of this type of talk on radio, please support our station, WGXC Radio for Open Ears. It's been open now for over 10 years, and we need pledge drive people like you to send money, snail mail, to WGXC FM, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405, or better, online. Donate, be a sustaining donor for just 7 cents a day. And at $5 a month, you can sustain one of our shows, wgxc.org/donate, for online pledges. And many of you, just like you, me, with my cell phone in the hand, you might just want to pledge by phone, 518-697-7400. Our goal is to keep everyone public, everyone's voice heard, and public radio does that. So I'd like to thank my guest talker today, and I'm going to thank her by sharing one of my favorite quotes from I believe it's Indian quote. And while I'm coming up with that, I'd like to ask Pallavi to share something about herself where a person might want to connect with her product, how they might be able to do so.
Thank you again. Your show provides a very critical platform for voices like me, for people like me, people of color. And I'm incredibly thankful for this opportunity to contribute to the engaging and informative discussions. You and your teammates today, Joey and Margaret, are hosting. So thank you for that. Woohoo! And also, I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks to all the listeners who've tuned in. So again, if you are interested in continuing this conversation like Kimberly offered, you are more than welcome to connect with me, because your active engagement and curiosity can truly enrich my experience as a business owner and empower me to provide better choices to people when it comes to products. And I would love for you guys to check our website, which is detox.com. It's spelled D-T-O-C-S, detox, which is inspired by the word detox, which is cleansing journey with palm leaves, but it's a different non-traditional spelling. So connect with us, check out Instagram, it's detox plates. And I would love for us to take this conversation over there, share ideas, opportunities to connect. And one of my quotes that I would like to share today, like you all shared yours, would be Mahatma Gandhi said, "You got to be the change that you really wish to see." And I think that is what really inspired me to do what I do today, to keep doing what I'm doing every day, waking up with the same motivation to be that change maker, if not for anybody, my own self, my own family, my own home, one plate at a time. So I want support from everybody and make better choices.
Thank you, Pallavi Panda. And now with 1 minute to go, I'm going to say, and my team knows this, you just took my quote. Mahatma Gandhi was my quote. But I have another one, and I'm going to go off the air with this one.